We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
John S. Iashevitz.
Yeah.
Like Manischewitz. Yes. I bet he gets it all the time. Like
Manischewitz. Yes.
John Iashevitz is the FOP Lodge 28 president in Lower Marion. And his mother-in-law, if you're listening, thank you for listening. We're always happy to hear that. John's in the news because he and officers last night of the Lower Marion Police Union, and I think Lower Marion is a very good police force, at least over the years. That's what I've seen. The Inquirer even says they're incensed at the discipline of one of their own, or they're vowing to appeal the 10-day suspension of an officer who used a taser on a woman during a traffic stop. Well, first of all, it appeared to be more than one traffic stop. I'm losing count with how many they were here with this individual woman. The tinted windows, Dan, I have to admit, sets me off. You know, and she wouldn't roll the window down. They were going back and forth. John Iashevitz is with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, John, thank you very much for coming on today. You're much in demand. Thank you, and glad to have your mother-in-law as a listener.
Well, one, thank you for mentioning her. Things will be a little bit better around Christmas this year. So I do thank you for having us. I'm here to get our message across.
Oh, that's good. So, John, am I right? And I know there's legalisms and all that involved, but it seemed overall that the consensus maybe was this was not textbook, despite the difficulty in this situation with what this cop had to deal with. And when the dust settled, he was going to get a one-day suspension, and I'm not saying that's ever you're happy with it, but then all of a sudden, it's a 10-day suspension from the commissioners.
You're absolutely right. What happened was we had a lawful stop, an officer doing lawful things. Officer gave lawful commands. The person chose not to listen. The chosen first chose to flee. Are we happy with everything that happened on that stop? No. Are there things that officer could have done better? Absolutely, yes. And we admit that. We were fully open to that. The officer took full responsibility and offered no excuses for the misgivings that were done and the violations of the policy. What we're really talking about here is, when we get down to it, the violations that were found during the extensive two-month investigation put on by our command staff, which have over 150 years of police experience and training and education, and that they are also not in our union. I want that to be very clear. Our command staff, from lieutenants and up, are not in our union, mm-hmm. So they don't answer to me. They don't answer to the officer. They're almost like independent. So when you look at it, the officer was wearing his body camera, but he forgot to sync it that day, which means when we get into our cars in the morning, we put our body cameras in a cradle, which syncs it to our emergency lights and sirens. The officer did, and he admitted he forgot to sync it that day. And during this high-risk stop, because of the tinted windows, because of the fleeing, he did not put the body camera on, but he was wearing it, but it was not activated. And we took full responsibility for that. The pursuit, we normally, per our policies, don't chase for traffic violations. The officer did. He admitted that he did that, and he violated the policy, and he took full responsibility for that. De-escalation policies. Yeah, could the officer use some better words or some better language? Yes. But when we look at it, it's a very volatile situation. We're not saying that he did 100% right. But what he did do is he acted within the confines of the law, and this person did not. So when we look at it, we have a body cam violation, a pursuit violation, and de-escalation, and a de-escalation policy issue. We don't have There's no evidence of bias, no evidence of racism, and no excessive force during this incident. It was reviewed for 2 months. It was sat there, and we watched the body cam footage that was available and the footage that was given to us by the person filming the incident numerous times by command with command staff. And we all agreed there's no racism here. There's no excessive force. And there was no bias. The officer didn't even know who was stopping. There was three people in the vehicle. There was another officer on the scene that didn't even know there was somebody in the back seat because the windows were so heavily tinted.
Oh, my God. This See, you know, John, I have such a thing about this, how dangerous, because I was going to ask you, one of the beefs here is he took his gun out. But, you know, when I'm coming on a tinted vehicle where there's already been difficulty, what am I supposed to do in that situation? I don't even know how many people were in there.
So I do want to talk about that gun because a lot of people keep bringing that up. The gun was out for approximately 44 seconds, maybe 43. And the gun was never pointed at the vehicle or pointed at any person. It was just down on the, it was pointed down at the ground. And he was ready because, don't understand, you have a tinted vehicle that was tailgating another person. Okay. This vehicle failed to yield. It went 1.3 miles without yielding and then decided to stop. So the officer's obviously thinking, why are you fleeing? Are you fleeing because you're, we understand people do get scared during traffic stops. And that's a possibility. But are you fleeing because you're a wanted felon? Did you just commit a robbery? Let's remember that Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, he was caught on a traffic stop.
Right.
Prior to being indicted for committing a terrorist act in this country. Traffic stops are an important way for public safety. And this person flees. So we have no idea walking up on a tinted winded vehicle and you just flee for 1.3 miles. And what am I walking into? Does that person have a shotgun behind that? We don't know.
So I guess the question, and I won't, unless you want to comment, I would ask these commissioners, as far as the emphasis on the gun or the people on social media doing this, really? You think you're going to approach a vehicle with that back pattern and I can't see and I'm not going to take my gun out? My God, I don't know how anybody does your job, and I'm completely, John, you may know, from a police family, but this back pattern and then this Monday morning quarterbacking, what did the commissioners offer as a defense? It doesn't seem to be based upon any science here of a 10-day suspension.
And that's one of our contentious points, is that they have not offered any specific reason. They keep referring to that they're facing litigation and they have to listen to their lawyer. They have not given us a solid reason or an explanation why they chose to do this unprecedented, excessive, and punitive punishment. I've had my legal team look, this has never been done before in Lower Marion Township. And then we looked even further. We still can't find. We're looking. So if anybody does know about it, we're looking. There's nowhere in the state that we could find where a board of commissioners or a governing body has overturned a staff recommendation and given 10 times. He went from a 1-day, 8-hour unpaid suspension to 80 hours without reason. And it's my belief that it was either because they're bowing down to the social media mob or they're bowing down to people that are saying that they should not be here or the officers should not be doing traffic stops, or they're bowing down to their own woke ideology. I don't know, because they have not offered me a reason of why this happened.
And, John, I might add from, you know, I know the police department. I've had good relationship with several over the years. It's a funny thing in that this is a highly professional, really good police department. But Lower Marion, some of the people in politics there, as you said, are very woke. So what I see creeping into this is the same. Well, Philadelphia is so much worse, but there were people saying, too, it makes it hard to both retain and then recruit new cops.
Absolutely. It's very hard to retain. I've had several officers come up to me, and they're thinking about not even just leaving the department, but leaving policing altogether. I've also, how can I tell an officer to come here in good conscience unless they come to their senses and start negotiating with us and start building a path so that way we know that you stand with your police. And we are elite. You know that there's two governing bodies that actually accredit police agencies, which is the Pennsylvania Law Enforcement Accreditation Commission, and also CALEA, which is the Commission of Accreditation of Law Enforcement Agencies. There are less than 25 agencies that have this elite distinction out of 1,100 in Pennsylvania, and Lower Marion is one of those agencies. So we are elite. We do follow policy, and we do admit when we're wrong. We just want to be punished appropriately, and we'll take our punishment appropriately when we do that.
Yeah, it seems to me, you know, the guy wasn't getting a slap on the wrist. That is appropriate punishment given the totality of this. I saw in news reports, has the driver or somebody in the vehicle been charged with any kind of illegal drugs that allegedly were in the car?
Absolutely. They were charged with drug possession, which was found on them during the search after the lawful arrest. And the offender was found in possession of a OxyContin pill, which was not registered to her, nor did she have a prescription for it.
So, John, charges, yeah, go ahead.
And all charges, she had the opportunity. She was represented by a private attorney at a preliminary hearing in district court. And all charges, she was afforded due process. And all charges were waived up or moved up to the Court of Common Pleas.
John, how about the tasing? There's much made of that. She wouldn't get out of the vehicle. You know, people who watch too much TV think, well, you just get someone out of the vehicle if they don't want to get out of the vehicle. What about the tasing?
Well, let's break it down. What happens when somebody says they don't want to be arrested today?
Right.
Do we just say no? Do we just walk away? So she would not get out of the vehicle. And to actually try and move somebody out of a vehicle that doesn't want to, and when you look at the video closely, she was swinging at the officer. She was kicking at the officer. So the officer did use his taser. It was ineffective. He used the taser twice. It was ineffective. And then he went back to using open hand controls. During the investigation, the use of force was determined appropriate. It was not excessive. And the taser has not even been mentioned as a reason for the erroneous punitive suspension of 10 days by the Board of Commissioners.
Yeah, it looks bad. It's a woman and male cops, et cetera, et cetera. But when a person doesn't want to move out of a vehicle or be arrested, it is not an easy thing to subdue them, John. And I say this all the time. It could even be a relatively small person. It's problematic. Did the driver, do you know, is she the one that insisted on a sergeant, or she called the police station or 911? And there were people there supervising at some point, right?
So she did request what was called a white shirt.
Right.
And at one point, one of her officers did call for a supervisor. And let's just be clear. It's a lawful stop. The law clearly states when you're stopped by a police officer, this is the law. When you're stopped by a police officer and they order you to give you their license, registration, and insurance, you must comply. Not when a supervisor is available. Not when you feel like you want to do it, or not if you don't want to do it. And one of the reasons she probably could not give a license, I can't speculate, but she has a suspended license, so she probably didn't have her license on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I mean, I say this all the time too, John, and you probably know, and we should tell everybody. You may not like the circumstance that's involved in here and something in your mind, but you have to comply, and then if the thing is wrong, you certainly have an opportunity to sue or do something else. But for everybody's safety there, you have to comply.
Absolutely. That's all we're asking. And more importantly, they were lawful orders. These commands were license, registration, lower your windows so I can see inside the vehicle. There were two other people in that vehicle you can't see in most of the video because of the heavy window tint. That's why the officer wanted those windows down. That's why the officer told her not to put the window back up for his safety and their safety. We want to be able to see what's going on. So we make the proper split-second decision that we sometimes have to make.
Exactly. So, John, your course of action is through the courts now. What's happening next?
We're vigorously doing our 10-day – I'm sorry. We are actually in the process of grievance and arbitration now. But I do want to put it – right now, the board still has time to act. Part of that is that this goes back to the township manager, and they still have time to reduce this suspension and come to their senses, and they still have time to right or wrong. There's always a way we can always move forward through active communication and good negotiation. But if not, we will actually go right through our arbitration process, and I personally don't think that this 10-day suspension will be held up by any arbitrator.
I can't see how it could when you look at the totality of this. John, please keep us in the loop, and anything the Lower Merion Police need. The stations were out there right in Lower Merion. They were always very, very good to us. So be happy to help in any way. And I'm glad that we have a listener and that Christmas will be better for you this year.
Absolutely. And I thank you for that shout out to my mother-in-law. And once again, my officers are scared out there now, and not scared of the criminals. They're scared to do their jobs. because they're fearful of the punitive actions by this board that they may take at any time against them.
Exactly right. Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. That last part, Dan, is exactly the point that we make here. La Romarian borders Philadelphia in some many spots. And you heard what he said there. Not so much a criminal, but a board of commissioners that just jumped. Look, the NAACP wants this guy to be fired. Based on what? Stop defending people that are indefensible, like the woman in this situation. The tinted windows, the other things we talked about there. You got three people in the car. How would you like to be coming up on a car like that? All right, so he didn't follow part of the procedure. The penalty is you lose pay and you get docked a day. I think that's more than appropriate. Is that appropriate? Fire him? My goodness. And the woman that took the video, I saw her interviewed. Give me a break, lady. Oh, I feel so saddened for my community. I'm in shock. Hey, you should say in La Romarian, thank God you still have enough cops because we don't. But people like you making this and the woman involved and these phony commissioners in La Romarian, you're not going to have cops. They go over to a place like Abington, maybe, where they seem to be, or Ben Salem, the mayor backs them. Malloy over in Abington. You know, I don't want to see communities drained of cops. It's exactly Philadelphia, exactly the mentality of the mob. What the hell you need the tinted windows for? How many times do we have to go through this with these tinted window people? Unless you have some sensitivity from 25 doctors where you can stop with the tinted windows all the time. Look, I mean, Dan, there were three people in the car. I'm looking at those tinted windows now, seeing the angle of the cop coming up. He doesn't have the gun pointed at him. One of them could have had a shotgun blown him away in a second. Then we'd all have crying at the funeral and the commissioners, oh, the brave men, stop it already. If you voted for a 10-day suspension, you don't support police. You got to be on one side or the other. You want to be on the NAACP with these phony claims side? And the woman taking this, oh, what has La Romarian come to? I'm ashamed of my community. God. Right there. Seating right up the suburbs. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Don't forget the side question at the end of your
Again,
call.
My officers are scared out there now, and not scared of the criminals. They're scared to do their jobs because they're fearful of the punitive actions by this board that they may take at any time against them.
Yeah, just out of the blue. Why are we doing 10 days? Well, it's a nice round number. NAACP is not going to say, oh, they got 10 days. They're still saying fire them all, defund them. Why do you need police in La Romarian, the woman that took this tape, and the commissioners? You don't need them. You're progressives. Nobody's going to bother you. Next time there's a problem, call a progressive. Don't call a cop. Used to be a hippie, but we'll put progressive in there. All right, 855-839-1210.
Got a really cool tweet sent our way during that interview.
Oh, who was that?
John's Internet Sales writes in, this is a conversation between him and his son. He says, hey, Dad, or this is his 15-year-old son when I picked him up from school yesterday. Hey, Dad, what's the side question today? Dad responds, great mass character. Son responds, Joel Embiid when he broke his nose on call.
Oh, boy, we got to get that kid on. He could be a winner.
Wish he called in, but the dad responds, hey, buddy, they're in the lightning round right now. Not going to be enough time.
I'm glad the side question works. I'd have to match that kid against Josh Shapiro's son. The category is capital punishment. Oh, God. Well, Joe Biden did it, Dan. He took this 5-year-old's letter with all these misspellings and crossing outs and all kinds of things. And the little girl allegedly wrote him, he read, do something about making pay equal for the ladies. And he read that on the day when they talk about pay disparity. What is it with Democrats? Now they're going to 5-year-olds to beat us. Well, my 5-year-old wanted to know why mommy doesn't get as much money. And Joe Biden said, I'm supportive. I'm right there with her. Send that letter over to Kamala Harris. She'll handle it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bruce Springsteen fan extraordinaire. The boss is in town today.
Yeah, so our Mayfair person up there, Anne-Marie, she is a nut for Bruce Springsteen. She just went on a trip down to Florida to go follow the guy. I don't get it, but she's one of those weird people that are obsessed with Bruce and will follow him on the road. And tonight, you got Bruce in town, and she's heading out at 3 to go down to the tailgate. Invited you down for some drinks if you wanted to go meet her. But
imagine
just said,
that. They have photos of that. I'm done in talk radio business.
At 2:30 today, she'll be hopping on with us just to preview and hype up that concert a little bit tonight. You know,
well,
not my plan. I don't want any Bruce Springsteen hype on this day show. But
today, in 2016, in Philadelphia, he did his longest U.S. show. And I don't know overseas if it was longer. 4 hours and 4 minutes, a total of 34 songs.
Like, why would anyone want to sit through that long of a concert?
There you go. I knew you were going to hit that.
It's no.
Well, I do know this fact,
like,
too, Dan.
When he first Bruce Springsteen's
when he first started, there was a great spot here, and I wanted to throw that in. Maybe somebody has a memory of this. I only went there once, and I was searching today. I can't remember who I saw. I don't think it was. Maybe it was James Taylor, maybe, when they were coming up. It was called, Dan, the Main Point in Bryn Mawr. That's where he got a lot of huge. It was legendary, this place, the Main Point.
I'm looking at it. It was a restaurant, not a theater, huh?
Yeah.
Or small coffee house.
Yeah, it had more of that feel. It became Springsteen's unofficial clubhouse. They played many shows on Villanova's campus and Upper Darby's Tower Theater.
Wow,
it was this guy, Ed Shackey, who let him crash on his couch. That was a connection to Springsteen.
Just looking at the names that went through that place, you had Springsteen, Jimmy Buffett, Bonnie Raitt, Daryl Hall, John Oates, Jackson Browne, Billy Joel, Dan Fogelberg, Cat Stevens. This is like the names of all names here. John Denver.
Yep.
Wow. Bill Withers, Don McLean, Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, I told you it was legendary, and the capacity couldn't have been that much. I don't know why I'm thinking James Taylor, but that's who I'm thinking. And
I mean, this list is so long. Let me just give a quick search.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Taylor.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. There,
yeah, but it had, you know, and I, of course, it was called The Point, you know, was a legendary place, and he was the biggest name and played there the most, I guess, ultimately. Okay, at 1:30, we're going to talk with a former congressman that I've been talking with who is very, very close to Ron DeSantis. To give you an idea of what DeSantis is really like, what are his thoughts? He's been in Florida a lot, meeting with his people, etc. Just to give you a little bit of an eyeball on where now DeSantis is still under fire because of his stance on Ukraine. I think he hit the sweet spot on that. Trump is a little bit further along as far as saying, you know, that they the Ukrainians have to negotiate than DeSantis did. But DeSantis, obviously, in the camp where a lot of Republicans, growing numbers are, were tired of these unending wars. And the takeaway from the Russian and the drone is that this is the type of mistake or the sort of thing that can happen if we continue to engage. Now, other Republicans say the takeaway from that is we're backing down the Putin. I haven't gotten a caller or rarely a caller to say anything like that. All right, our side question today, though. Hit us with a Philly guy or woman coming off Jason Kelce, re-signing, free agency. And how some people never, did you say Bill Cosby? Yeah, you did say Cosby.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we took Bill Cosby off. I had Rizzo, and I'm going to take Ray Dittinger off.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
And Ray Dittinger is kind of a weird because he's an understated. Usually Philly guys are more boisterous.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the yellow pad, though. How did Ray Dittinger become that beloved?
I mean, just longevity and accuracy, I think. The guy's been on point for everything.
Yeah, maybe so.
I think a similar name that just came in on Twitter that kind of fits into the same, you know, area would be Jim Gardner.
Longevity.
Yeah, longevity, yes. And, right. And just respect. You know, yeah. Philadelphians have deep respect for Ray.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not the most colorful. We joke about it. That's why they call him P. Diddy and all that stuff. He's more the yellow legal pad than colorful.
Yeah.
He mocks it even. I don't think he had a cell phone to 10 years ago. But anytime his name is mentioned, people just gaga around him. That's the good upside about Philadelphia. Once you make it here, I told you the story doing this event with the Hound, Bob Kelly. It's like 20 years after he played. We're at a church parking lot, some kind of festival broadcast. And people are coming up, bringing him beers. And what, the Hound is here. He was a bit player, but he was colorful beyond belief. Dan, when he came on the ice, he just decided to run over top of his own players and the other team to get to the puck. That was it. And that's why they called him the Hound. And it doesn't matter, 20, 30, 40 years after the fact. All right, let's go to Joe, who's in Ohio on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Joe, who's that Philly person?
Hey, I'm looking at Vince Papale.
Yes, Vince Papale is still much in demand as an inspirational figure, and obviously he is. What was the name of the film? I didn't like the guy that played him, by the way. I don't think that was a good choice.
Is that Wahlberg?
No, it wasn't Wahlberg. No. But Vince Papale is a good choice.
Who
yeah, he's he's Philly through and through.
That was Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg.
Did Wahlberg
in
play
Invincible.
Him?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was somebody else.
No, he was Invincible. I'm looking at it here.
It was Wahlberg?
Yeah.
All right, Wahlberg's a good choice. I thought it was, I'm blanking on the guy's name.
The thing I liked about Polly as an answer, too, is we've had a couple athletes mentioned, but they were, you know, Philly guys after they came to town.
Yes.
But this guy was a Philly guy who tried
Interboro.
Out and made the team. Yeah.
Tending a bar.
Yeah.
And then he makes the team. Paul in Philly has been to the main point. Hey, Paul, welcome in.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, it brings back some old memories from long, long ago.
All right, you saw Springsteen there.
A lot of people didn't believe me. And then one day I went with my niece class trip down to, of all places, the Constitution Center.
Right.
And they had this display of Springsteen's, why he was there, but I don't remember why. But there was a copy of the ticket. I said, see it. Told you I've been there.
Ticket.
I was there probably that night. He could have been there for three or four nights. I don't know.
Yeah. Tell Dan.
Small little place.
Yeah. What did it seat? About 100? Something like that?
It was definitely smaller than the Tower Theater.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, Paul. Great spot, too. I don't know why it went out of vogue or whatever, but the, yeah. He's in town tonight. We'll talk to Amory Muldoon, who's usually tremendous.
You going to try to get Bruce on the show?
No, I think I have to pass on that.
No, damn, I'm striking that down.
Come on, if he called in right now, you wouldn't take his call?
Jim, come on now. That's an existential question here. Oh, all right. As a talk radio host, I would be bound. Greg Stocker would be over here. Like, Tom, you got to take the call.
You got to take this right now.
Exactly.
This is like a once-in-a-lifetime. Hey, Tom, right. I want to know why Dan don't like me.
Yeah, whose call would I not take if they call that has a big name? I think I'd take most of them.
Joy Behar?
Yeah, sure. We're going to, you know, after two softballs, I'm going to ask you. Joy, how did you get that obnoxious? Did you practice at it, or is it a natural skill? It's going to go to that. All right, we're going to talk with the former congressman from Pennsylvania that I've been talking with a lot, who's in touch with Ron DeSantis and his crew and worked with him in Congress and has got a lot of insight in what makes this guy tick. Again, is he going to be able to do this on the big stage, the presidential stage? Oh, and a disturbing texting, Dan, back and forth with today with the top political operative that I really respect. My column on Doug Mastriano, there was some editing because I did get a little bit overboard. I may have said a plague five or six times. I'm told, and I'll break it down a little bit more, that if Dave McCormick doesn't run, there's no other big-time Republican. Guess who the nominee could be? Doug Mastriano. I know people are just saying, Dom, will you stop it? It's not going to be Doug Mastriano. I might ask Keith that. I think McCormick is going to run, thank God. But will he beat Doug Mastriano? Dom Giordano Show. Welcome in, 855-839-1210. Joining us is former Congressman Keith Ruffus, who worked in Congress with Ron DeSantis, still in touch with his group in DeSantis. I know he was down there for the inauguration recently. And wanted to give you a sense as we move forward, because I think DeSantis is going to run for president, without a doubt, of what makes him tick and how will he be on the big stage. Keith joins us here. He's in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia. Hey, Keith, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Dom. Just hope I don't get interrupted here by Bruce Springsteen. So, if he calls in, maybe I'm in trouble.
Well, let's see. We got the Springsteen call and we got the DeSantis call. Which call? All right, now let me give you this test. I know you're a big fan, and certainly with a lot of now, you've seen him up close, and I am too. I love what the guy has done of DeSantis. But let's say you're getting a call from, I don't know, Dan, pick somebody. Come on now, give us something that would be difficult for him. He's in Pittsburgh. Let's say it's Terry Bradshaw calling her DeSantis.
Mario Lemieux. Mario Lemieux, or you got DeSantis. How about that?
Whose call are you taking?
Well, I think you take both and you let them talk to each other. Ron's a great sports fan, and I'm sure he can like to connect with some of his Western Pennsylvania roots. You know, his dad was born about 10 miles from where I live here in Western PA. I actually have a photo. I hope the Eagles fans don't mind this one. I have a photo of Ron when he was like 2 years old wearing a Steelers outfit because his parents are from this area. His dad grew up in Aliquippa, PA. His mom grew up in Youngstown. They married sometime in the 1970s and moved down to Florida. And Ron was born in 1978 outside of Tampa.
Ah,
he would
well.
He'd come up here all the time in the summer times. Right. You know, he was on a Little League team. He was up in Williamsport with the Little League World Series back in 1991.
Really?
Yep. So, yeah, he knows Pennsylvania. He's going to be coming back again. We've got him lined up to speak at the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference on April 1st over in Harrisburg. So he's been to Pittsburgh several times since he's been governor. I've had him come and give a couple talks. And, of course, I've been down there. I was down there most recently for his policy summit that he had a couple weeks ago, which was a very good event with about 150 people, and hearing about the success that he's been able to achieve in Florida and taking that message on the road with his new book, Courage to Be Free.
I love how you segue just from that one thing to connect him to Pennsylvania and Steelers country. It was beautifully done. Here's the thing, Keith, and you've seen this too up close. I really like Scott Walker. I had him in studio. He conducted himself marvelously. I went to his presidential rollout. He gave me an hour here in Philadelphia. He had all kind of money to spend. Then he was on the stage, and he just, I don't know if you concur, he dropped out after a while. It just didn't look, for want of a better term, presidential. DeSantis has everything, except people are saying, and at times I see this, he's saying exactly what I want. But is it a little bit tepid? So on the big stage, he's close to that because of all the attention in Florida. What can you tell us you think will happen when he's standing with Trump and the others?
Well, I think I've seen him on the stage. I've seen him at big rallies. Mm-hmm. I've seen him speak before a crowd. We've had him here last August. He was addressed a rally here, and we had him at our Lincoln Day dinner the year before that with a crowd of about 800 people. And very enthusiastic response. This is a guy who does connect with people. And I'm going to attribute that to somewhat of the Rust Belt roots that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Practical people here in Western PA, practical people throughout Ohio. Ron's wife is from the state of Ohio. And you saw that somewhat on display. I think you know, the tragedy they had down there at the Surfside condo collapse, you saw a couple fully engaged with the community on the ground every day, working with the disaster recovery folks. Really showing another side of the guy's leadership that few people have been able to see. And certainly after Hurricane Ian and what mm-hmm. you saw going on there and how quickly he acted to get things back online. That's the kind of record he can run on. Florida has prospered tremendously over the last several years. A lot of people moving in, business formation, number one in the country. People like what he's done with education, putting parents back in charge. So he has a great record to be running on and a lot to tell the American people if he decides to run. Now, again, he's not a candidate.
Keith, you're talking to Dom. We've had a lot of conversations. I put it at 99.99%. Why would he not? Because he's a smart guy and he realizes when the opportunity is there, you got to go, right?
Absolutely. But it's just not a vacuum either. Don't forget, this is a guy with a family. You know,
right.
I'm sure that both he and his wife would be thinking things through very carefully. But he's got the third biggest state in the union to mm-hmm. be governing right now, and they're in the middle of a legislative session, hoping to achieve a number of additional wins for the state of Florida.
All right. Well, now I'm interested. I know your legal background. You're a precise guy. I thought he and his staff did a great job on Ukraine because he doesn't have a lot of foreign policy, maybe in Congress. He's a detailed guy. The statement on Ukraine hit where I think the Republican Party is now, but it did not off-put any people other than a few Republican senators who I don't think the change that Republicans are moving towards saying, we don't want to be involved in unending wars or things like that. What did you think of what he crafted there?
I think you got to look at it in the context of where we've been through the last 20 years. And if people haven't read it, there's a book that I think name is Craig Whitlock at the Washington Post wrote a book called The Afghanistan Papers. And it talked about really the two decades of misinformation that we got out of the Pentagon with respect to the progress in Afghanistan. Look, there's war fatigue out there. There is a real concern about the resources that this country has. We're now $31 trillion in debt. I think it's right when we say you can't give a blank check to any country. And you've got to take a look at what is going on in the field. You understand, I think Europe should be far more engaged than they have been. But again, you've got to focus on this country, too. And a strong America is going to be deterring a lot of the aggression that you see out there. You know, if Trump had gotten reelected in 2020, I don't think you would have seen an invasion of Ukraine by Putin. I just don't think it would have happened. So we got to focus on making sure America is as strong as she can be. And that includes, you know, making sure our fiscal house is in order and making sure we have the adequate resources in our military.
Absolutely. Now, I think it plays well. You may not have seen this, Keith, but I've been rolling it out a little bit here. The New Yorker wrote a piece comparing Ron DeSantis and Trump/Vance of what they did in East Palestine and DeSantis' emphasis on woke and saying the Trump and Vance, that sort of thing is much better for Republican voters. I think DeSantis and what he's done on woke has been genius. He owns it detail after detail because it's unending, and people, even independent voters, resent this stuff.
Well, I think that's right. And I think the East Palestine situation, the neglect of communities like that by elites in Washington, D.C., you look how the Secretary of Transportation completely dropped the ball. He should have been there immediately. He was not. It showed a real callousness towards people in this part of the country. I think that Trump certainly tapped into that in his campaign back in 2016, and J.D. Vance has as well. But I think folks in East Palestine would similarly be concerned about the woke problems. So you're looking at a cross-cutting effort on things that people across the board would respond to. And certainly Governor DeSantis would find fault with the government's reaction with what happened in East Palestine as well. East Palestine happens to be smack dab between the place where his mom grew up and the place where his dad grew up.
Ah, exactly right. Well, Keith, I'm fascinated talking with you with DeSantis. And as you said, we're going to see him here in Harrisburg, at least at that big event, and hope to get a chance to talk with him about his book, because with our listeners, they are riveted to see how this plays out with him. So, Keith, thank you. Thanks very much for coming on today.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
All right. We'll have more from Keith in the future. Just give that thumbnail sketch of DeSantis. I think he'll be fine when he gets on the big stage with Trump, but we don't know. Then the nicknames start, et cetera. How do you respond to that? All right, we're asking for that Philly male or female that you think, you know, celebrity, historical figure, athlete, coming off Jason Kelce and all that's been going on here with talk of free agents, et cetera. Phone lines, 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all that you have to do is just push pound 1210. Well, the White House is responding to the GOP claiming that Howie Biden receive cash in the China deal? I've seen them name at least seven Bidens. You know, it's not just Hunter Biden, Dan. I want to see the brother Biden, Joe Biden's brother, in the docket under oath. Gee, for a family that doesn't seem to know or do too much, a lot of Chinese money making their way to the Bidens here. We'll see how that plays out. I know these things grind slowly, but hopefully they grind. Your calls are next, too.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.
With Dom.
Right, that time of the afternoon that producer Dan usually takes over, but Dom, I got to play some guest wrangling as we await Amon Brown, so I'm going to send it right back to you to take some calls and get right back to the program.
Sounds like an excuse of being unprepared.
A little bit, maybe.
All right.
You know, I'm way too hyped for this Bruce Springsteen concert.
I get it. It's a festival. Can you imagine? All right, a couple things. I told you the Mastro thing. I have it up on my Twitter at DomShow1210. I haven't gotten any blowback from anybody, nor am I anticipating it. I just called it out for what it is. This cat, it must be stopped at all costs. Here's what I can tell you. I'm told pretty reliably it's only Dave McCormick, and he's a little bit unsure if he wants to do it or not after going through that slugfest with Dr. Oz. And Mastro, Doug Mastriano, is almost definitely going to run. Why wouldn't he? What are we going to do here? It's my job just to not tell you this and just say, well, Tom, don't you think he would be better than Bob Casey? Yeah, but it's a pipe dream that this guy's going to beat Bob Casey. What makes you believe the second time? So I just got a note. I was telling Dan an email from someone saying it was brave to write this editorial about, op-ed about Mastriano. I don't see that at all. I think people are with me on this. Now, in certain necks of the woods, they're tweeting out, and Mastro may have done this today, this guy Dave McCormick couldn't even beat Dr. Oz. How can he beat Doug Mastriano? Oh, my God. He barely won Lancaster County with a 65% Republican registration. Lancaster County, he barely won. It's not just the abortion issue. It's a whole litany of things. And I just want to get away from that. I don't want the Republican Party to be associated with this. Now, there is a dilemma. Can we keep the people that support Doug Mastriano in the fold? Are they going to say, well, if it's not Mastro, we're going to take our ballot and go home? It may come to that. This guy cannot be our nominee again. I mean, I just can't tell you. Bob Casey is beatable this time. You're starting to see where. I'm not even sure if he's going to run. I think he will. And somebody like McCormick can beat him. But I'm told there's no other major figure out there. They don't know what they're going to do, is my sense, if Dave McCormick doesn't run. Now, I know the downside with McCormick. I know the suspicion, you know, the rhino charge, etc. I know all that. And I ask, how do we get to this spot where Doug Mastriano could be our nominee against a beatable Bob Casey for control of the Senate? It's insane. So I'll keep you abreast. I'm getting a lot of reaction to this. I'm telling you honestly, it's not just abortion. It's a whole litany of bizarre and strange and just not following common sense to run a campaign. Doug Mastriano is not Donald Trump. Can we all agree on that? By that, I mean, look, Trump has his own style. Some things work for him. I don't think they work for too many other people. He's Donald Trump. He has universal name recognition. He's got the charisma of the TV background, the money, etc. How in the world, Doug Mastriano is going to reach the same kind of people and tap into that? No, it's not. And he is more toxic in the suburbs, I think, than Trump allegedly is. So let's stop saying everybody's the next Donald Trump. They broke the mold here. I don't think you're going to see too many candidates that can operate in the way that Trump does. He's good at it. I don't think Doug Mastriano is. Will he take on the media, or he just try to block them and ignore like he did the last time? So check it out. It's at Delaware Valley Journal. or check it out at Dom Show 1210 at Dom Show 1210. I have it posted. I haven't looked on Twitter in a while, but I wasn't getting negative reaction. People are going, you're right. We just cannot go down this path. All right, we had Michael Nutter on today. That interview will be up. He endorsed Rebecca Reinhart, and he and I went back and forth. It was great. Amon Brown is one of the most reliable people on public safety. He just released, he texted to me, I guess it was 2 days or so ago, his crime plan. We'll get him to lay that out, and we'll talk with him about the campaign. He's about ready to release, or maybe he has. He showed me a while ago a campaign ad. He's going to talk about that. We got Dom's Money Melody for a great prize. Keep the calls coming, too.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.